Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Do you believe in freedom? Cannot rest until it comes. Do you believe in freedom?
Hallelujah, greetings. And welcome to Wisdom with Mama D. We should be, today is Christmas Day, December 25th, 2021. And after the break, we should be coming up on Facebook. We're having a little computer glitches, and you'll be able to see me live. But for the ones that are listening on Blog Talk, 605-9325. 515-605-9325. And you click on if you want to speak. Oh boy, I'm all excited because I'm going to be going live on Facebook. Today, our title, The Memorial to the Woman and Preaching the Gospel Globally, because it is written in that Black History Bible book, whose hero is a woolly-haired man with bronze-colored feet to match his bronze-colored face, that wheresoever this gospel is preached in the whole world, this that this woman has done be told as a memorial to her. There are two memorials specified as memorial. This is my blood, this is my body, filled and broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. Of me is a personal thing. the memorial to the woman is a gospel thing. And here we are, over 2,000 years later, where is the memorial to the woman? Now, there are some people in little country towns that go out to the riverbank and they do the foot washing. And then there are the Catholics who do the foot washing. They do it in honor of imitating what the Messiah did when he washed the feet of his disciples. And Peter said to him, this is out of order. You should be washing your feet instead of you washing ours. And he said to Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no portion in me. So I want you to just think about that for a few minutes. If he does not wash you, you do not have any portion in him. Because he said, upon Peter, I will build my church. Peter being a Hebrew. But we have built the church upon a non-Hebrew. So it's important after all these years that we get the preaching of the gospel as it is written and not as we would have it to be written. So today we have some very exciting guests for you coming up on 12:30 to 1 p.m. session. We're going to have Miss Tira, and she is a WVON talk show host and just a fascinating young woman who has fascinating guests, like she did last week. She comes on every Sunday at 5 p.m. on WVON, and she has her guests. And this woman talked about wealth and the importance of wealth. And instead of that, before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave. She's got the opinion, before I be without wealth, I'll be buried in my grave. So we hope that she'll be able to tell us a little bit more about that. And then following her, we have Ms. Karen Hicks. And everybody knows Ms. Karen Hicks is with A Few Good Women, which I am among a few good women. And she'll be telling you about how cleanliness is especially next to godliness. And it's one of the principles that we are supposed to do. Heal the land. Take care of it. To do it. And then, of course, we have Miss Savannah Mason. She is with, as a matter of fact, she is a godly eyed. She's a teacher. She's a mother. And so what I tried to do was to have today's program spanning some different decades. So she is the youngest among our group, I believe. And she is the mother of a, I think, about 5 years old son. And we got her input on teaching the memorial to the women. Now, for those of you that haven't heard about the memorial to the women, there were two sisters to the Black Rock. One was named Mary and one was named Martha. Most people know about Martha. No, this is not Mary Magdalene, that he's the first captive that he set free, because his mission was he came to set the captive free. And the question is, who were the captives and what did he set them free from? Well, the first captive he set free was a woman about to be stoned to death. And all these men were all around, and, you know, he came up on the scene, and I could just see this. I could see envision what he was doing. He took a stick or something and started doodling down on the ground. So, oh my, everybody stopped. The execution would be, we'll put that on hold. He's not going anywhere. He's either tied up or a hole is big enough that she's down in it and they're just going to throw the stones at her head until she's dead. But in any case, we've got her. She's not going anywhere. So what is this danger doing? So he's sitting down on the ground, and they go over and they cry, I talking to him, and they let him know what's going on. This woman, she was caught in the very act of adultery. He was stoning her. So he said something to the effect of, well, let's see who is about sin. Let's first stone. But you know how he felt about being. First, because he really did get it. You're stoning her because she was caught in the very act of adultery. So if she was in the very act, she was in the act with someone. So he is the one that she is in the act with. Why isn't it two people being stoned? So there are three things required of you. Love, mercy, do justice, walk humbly with thy God. Now, this is not doing justice, because if she was in the very act, and she was in the very act with someone, and there could be two people being stoned instead of just her. So, he poses the question that him who is without sin, cast the first stone. Now, you know how we feel about being hurt. Reverend Dr. Prophet King said, I want you to be faithful in moral excellence. I want you to be faithful in generosity. I want you to be faithful in love. So we just love the idea of being faithful. So he said, I'm going to be faithful. No. What did he say? He said, but I'm sin. I might have done something in a long time ago. But here, you take it. No, I'm pretty sure it was probably a sin when I did, you take it. So, at the end of the day, there was none without sin, none worthy of stoning her, but the one who posed the question. And he posed another question. He said, woman, where are your accusers now? You know, he's the only one qualified to accuse her. So this became one of the guys' followers. If, women wasn't included under the disciples, but if there was female disciples, this would have been the first one. And she was one of the last ones after he was cut. But anyway, that is that Mary. So the other Mary was the sister of Martha. Martha and Mary, they were the sisters of Lazarus. And what I like about this story is that they, you know, in those days, they didn't have any cars or planes to ride around in, and horses were expensive, and so were donkeys. So most of the poor people, they walked, they went. And so, and the streets were not paved with gold or concrete. They were rocky and dusty, and they walked where they went. So here you are, showing up at Martha's house. I thought that was very interesting that a woman would be a homeowner. And they didn't say this was Lazarus' house. They said this was Martha's house that they showed up at. And, of course, you hungry men, you know, busted in. And I don't have my telephone. You didn't email. You let me know you're coming, but here you are. So I know you must be hungry because he's in the kitchen trying to rustle up some sandwiches. And her sister, Mary, is sitting down listening to all the news that these 12 disciples popped up there, are telling to entertain the truth. So her sister, now you know, if you're a sister, you're not a mother. If you're a sister, they're going to tell you quick if you tell me what to do. I don't have to mind what you're talking about. You're not my mother. So she knew not to even say anything to Mary. And she went to, not sure, the Messiah, the Christ, the most called Jesus. And she said to him, would you make her give up and come and help me in this kitchen? And he said to her, I love it, because he repeated her name two times. He said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled by many things, but not all things are needful. And she has chosen that good part, and no one could take it from her. That should have told us that now he's dealt with the justice issue. Now he's dealing with the position issue. You are in the kitchen because the woman's work, the woman's supposed to be in the kitchen, but he set that straight. He said, you know, she's chosen something else, and I'm not going to take that from her. She's chosen a better part than you. You chose to be in the kitchen, so you're limited to that. That's on you. And so that's interesting. Long story short, the majority of his ministry was dealing with women because he came with such the captives free. And who were the captives? Women were the captives. And what did he want to set them free from? And that is male domination. And we find this very often because on the sixth day, I'm referring to that Black History Bible book, so I'm not referring to any other book. But it's written on that sixth day after everything was created and Yah God said and it was and he said and it was. But all of a sudden the script changes on the sixth day. He is no longer speaking in a sovereign manner, speaking in a family manner. And he's using the word let up, you know, called in the family. He's God the Father. He's called in the Holy Spirit, Mother of Wisdom and Comfort, because wisdom said, I was there when everything was made. So he calls in the Holy Spirit, Mother of Wisdom and Comfort, and Yahshua, the Messiah, the Christ, who most called Jesus, the Son. So here we have, come let us reason together. I know we're supposed to say God the Father, man, God the Son, man, and there is no God the Mother on the scene. She is the Holy Spirit, and that's a man. Three men does not produce anything. Said was, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, male and female. Now here it is, Genesis 1:26. Check it out for yourself. But we don't want to deal with that, so we just skip over that, because that says there was an equality. Because after he said, let us, the family is in on it. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, Mother, Wisdom and Comfort, and God the Child. They're all in on it. So he's saying male and female, very clear. And he blessed them. He blessed the males, he blessed the females. And he told them to be fruitful and multiply, because to reproduce, you need a male and you need a female aid. It takes two to tangle then, it takes two to tangle now. So he said, he blessed them, and guess what else he did? He gave them dominion over the earth. Them, check it out for yourself. And he told them to till the land. So when we have Miss Hicks coming up talking about tilling the land, that is a spiritual reason why she has her campaign about cleanup, because cleanliness is next to godliness. So she'll be able to talk a little bit about that. And the other thing is, for today, we talk about the child. And we will all be bringing the child some goodies, some presents. Now, I've been on this campaign about Earth Day birthday because we should begin to enter into this world on a two-foot instead of a live foot. But what happens is we say, it's my birth. No, no, settle that. I came up with Earth Day birthday because I wanted to teach my preschool age students about sharing. And there was nothing in the curriculum. So they love my stories and songs and things. So I told them that before they got born on the earth, their mother, they lived inside of their mother's body for 9 months, and she shared her food, her air, and her water with them. And that is why they should share with others. I said they were alive, but she hadn't given birth, so they could be born on the earth. So many people have heard me say that through the decades, and what they say is my Earth Day, or they'll say my born day, but they are both missing myths. The point is your Earth Day birthday, but your mother did the birthing. Your mother did the work. Your mother did the labor, and you're claiming birth, but you didn't do no birthing. And so whether you like it or not, you know, the truth is the truth. Facts can change feelings. Feelings cannot change facts. So I'm saying that this is what happened, that she did the birthing. So if you say Earth Day birthday, you give both of them credit. If you just say Earth Day or Born Day or my birthday, you're missing it. If we could get that right, that first relationship correct with the female, which is your mother, and the day she gave birth to you is your original natural mother's day, with which she became your mother. And the one person you can never lose is your mother. You lived inside of her for 9 months, and when she has transitioned, you can live inside of her forever. So Earth Day, birthday. And so today we're going to give the Christ child. Well, actually, we say this is a day of giving. But you know what people say? What are you going to get for Christmas? And that's what it's really about. People don't come up to you and say, what are you going to get for Christmas? You know, what are you going to get for Christmas? So everybody gets this gift. And let us just pause and think for a moment what it must be like to be a teenage girl giving birth in a stable. The animals live there. They don't have toilets to flush. The animals live in the stable. I mean, yes, I'm sure she found some nice clean straw and hay and stuff, but it was a stable, okay? Now, and here she is, and she didn't have a lady, say she had a midwife or anybody helping her to give birth. She gave birth by herself in a stable, you know, and we need to think about that. Why is there so little credit when you think, well, I know why. Because women have been so beaten down until they have given credit of birth to a sort, they say a bird brought it, or they've given credit of birth to a vegetable, that you were found in a vegetable patch, because they have been so beaten down. So under the curse that they don't call a curse, shall you have children in pain, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he will rule over you. That is part of the curse. But when you are born again, you're no longer under the curse. So nobody is supposed to be ruling over you, because where there is Christ, there is liberty. So you're free, going right back to what he told Mary. She has chosen that good part. She has chosen. You have a right to choose. And I'm not saying you have a right to choose how to murder somebody, because children are here to God in the seed of the womb. It's his reward. And if you choose to be a believer, then you should choose to don't break the leash when of that 9 month tenant, because the food, the water, the air, everything is being provided for 9 months, and that is one leash you should not break. But in any case, if he came to set the captives free, who were the captives, and what did he set them free from? And that is what's so fascinating about the memorial to the woman. I have about 2 minutes to tell you a little bit about that. So Mary, who was entertaining the truth in Martha's, her sister's house, went out and did everything she was big enough to do. And she was known as the local hooker, okay? So the Messiah is there at this home preaching the gospel. And she comes up and boo-hoo. So the onlookers are saying, boy, if he knew, that she's supposed to be a holy man. If he knew about her background, why is he letting that kind of woman even touch him? But she is literally breaking down crying so much in repentance of the kind of life that she have led, until she's literally washed his feet with her tears. And I'm sure she doesn't want anything to do that, so she even have a towel with him. She wasn't planning on that, because you can't just blink your eyes and have enough tears to wash somebody's feet with. So what she did was she took her hair up there. I done wet you all up. Well, now let me try to dry your feet. And she had some ointment in her little purse, and she took the ointment out. And I got 1 minute before we get to the break. So she took the ointment out and put them on his feet. As I said, you got to walk everywhere you go. And to get a foot massage, that was a big deal. So his disciples are over there looking on, and they're saying, well, we could have taken that oil and sold it and given the money to the poor. But first of all, it wasn't your oil. Did nobody say you give it up on it? But you have such little respect for a woman that you said just like you could take what belongs to her. So anyway, it's 12:30, and we're going to have to break. But this is, and Messiah said to her, wheresoever this gospel is preached in the whole world, this that this woman has done, he told as a memorial to her. And he honored that memorial when he was the chief of that society. So, you think it's okay?
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call, because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. we can talk to each other face-to-face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my three-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God. The light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
What happens when a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death? Slavery, the African-American psychic trauma. What happened to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African-Americans suffering from psychic trauma,
because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. And get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African American Psychic Trauma.
Make sure she presses one because we got some callers on the line.
Yes. Press one if you want to speak.
This is Andrew Nelson Bay. Can you hear me?
Miss P. Ray, if we have another guest scheduled, if we have
Andrew Nelson Bay,
or if we have Miss Shavana Mason on the line, either one of them can punch one and speak, and we'll just try to move it. Are you there?
Andrew Nelson Bay is here.
Miss Karen Hitt, punch one if you're there. Miss Shavana Mason, if you're there, punch one. If not,
taking call from Andrew Nelson.
I would really prefer to have a female start off this particular program.
Okay.
So is there someone else on the line outside of Mr. Anderson?
Caller 111111 and caller 773-977.
Okay, let's try 977.
Hold on, Andrew. We'll get back to you.
Well, good morning, good afternoon. Merry Christmas to all. This is Lois here in Chicago.
Hello. Hello. Greetings to you. And welcome to with Mama D.
Thank you, thank you. It's good to be alive to be here to get some of this wisdom today, Mama D. So I can't wait. So are all of your guests going to be coming in later, or are they not coming in at all, or do you know?
Well, you know, one person does not stop a program. We can
right.
go on. I always say, however it goes, it goes the way God intended it to go. So
amen.
I'm not going to
concern myself with someone who isn't here. You are here, and a very special guest. And I'd like to ask you a question. Why do you think that there is so little emphasis on the mother of the Messiah, considering she's given birth by herself in a stable, and that whole situation? We being women who have given birth, can you sort of imagine what that might have been like? You didn't have the midwife, you didn't have a doctor, and this was a birth. You want to come in on that? Because I know you've never thought about it before, because I've never thought about it before either. So think about it now.
Thank you for the question. But yes, I thought about it way back when I was 16 years old. I wrote a Christmas program entitled Believers and Nonbelievers. Those who believed in God, those who believed in Santa Claus, those who didn't believe at all. And I would have children to perform all over Chicago in this Christmas play, along with my mom and dad, of course. But the confusion was there, you know, Mary conceiving a baby, never having it in the course, and, you know, and the baby came forth, you know. So it's whatever you want to believe, but in all cases, the father, the sperm had to have been there in order for the little baby Jesus to be born. But I was told that it was really just an immaculate conception deal, that there was no intercourse. You know? So we really don't know. It's whatever people want to believe. You know, I believe that he was born in a manger. I believe he was wrapped in swaddling cloth. I believe the kings came around and brought gifts and everything else. So that's what I believe, Mama D. The question is, believers or non-believers?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because today, through the miracle of science, men, a woman can have a baby without intercourse. All she needs is the male sperm to be put in a test tube with her egg and reinserted in her body, and virgins can conceive today with no problem. Well, but people were so the creator that created people, you know, you didn't just create yourself. I know Darwin's theory of evolution says, well, you came from a fish. Okay. When was the last time you saw a fish being born, a woman giving birth to a fish? Whatever, have you seen that? But we would rather believe that people evolved from fishes than we would that the person who made the body, somebody made us our bodies, we didn't make them ourselves. So we would rather believe that we came from fishes or that there's no such thing. But yet today, virgins can conceive. But 2,000 years ago, the divine birth of the one who created the body, oh, that's just impossible. So what do you think about the NC babies today?
Well, you know, I've known quite a few people who've gone and had that artificial insemination. And one in particular has two girls that are about 6 years old right now. But, you know, it's to me, it's just weird. It's when you look at them, they just look weird, you know. Even the mother who had this done, you know, she looks weird. Yeah. So I think it's just really the babies are coming here the way God wants them to come here, and it's all we can do. Nobody can make a baby but God. So whatever God gives us, that's what we have to accept. That's what I think.
Right. I'm agreeing with that, but what I'm saying is, it was very dangerous to say a young girl unmarried is expecting a baby. I mean, those were reasons to be stoned to death. And it was up to the man that she was engaged to give the thumbs up or the thumbs down to whether she should live or die. So it was necessary for her to get out of town, because I'm sure people in the community was not going to buy the fact that she was expecting this baby, and she wasn't married, and it was divine, a divine birth and an immaculate conception. I'm sure most of the people were not buying that, and that that decision to get her out of town was made in order to save her life. Believe that it couldn't have happened 2,000 years ago by the creator who created the body of human beings, but today man can do it. So that is a reaffirmation of faith. If man can do it in a hospital, then why couldn't Yahweh have done it? But somebody created these bodies and they maintain these bodies because breath battery. And I've said it many times before. Breath battery is like a car battery. Doesn't matter about the make or the model of the car, whether it's a Klumper or a Mercedes-Benz. If it doesn't have a battery that is charged up and working, that car is not going to go anywhere. And we are not going to go anywhere if we do not have our breath battery charged, and no one can do that. And so I thank you for your call and your input. And do you have anything else left to close in remarks?
Well, I'd just like to know, do you believe that Mary conceived the baby Jesus without having intercourse with anyone?
Well, I think if I didn't believe it back then, because men can do it today, that would certainly make a believer of me.
Okay. Right on. More believers than unbelievers. In the play that I wrote, one of the scripts said, well, how can you tell me that she's had a baby and she's never had sex? I don't believe that she's a virgin. What do you think? And he talks to the preachers about it in the play and what have you. Hopefully, if I live in the Lord, say the same. Next year, I'm going to sponsor that Christmas play. I haven't done it since my parents died. But yeah, believers and unbelievers, and you know, in all walks of life, we have different people who believe in different denominations and different things, and we have to allow them to. We have to respect them, and respect their thoughts. And like the man said yesterday, who made 100 years old, we have to be kind. We have to be kind to one another, and loving in some respects. Forgiving. And so people who are here today, we're here because our foreparents taught us in a certain way, and some of us carry that trait on, and some of us just, you know, don't even acknowledge it at all. But every day is a Christmas day. Every day is a good day. Every day that we're alive, you know, we just have to be happy, be joyful, and be thankful. Love you all, and thank you so much for giving me this time.
Well, thank you. And everything that you have said is absolutely true. Also, the fact that you can have a baby today without intercourse with a man. If you were not a believer of what happened 2,000 years ago, I think that that scientific fact of today should make a believer out of you. So, P. Ray, are you there? If you are, please push one and call in.
Okay, good morning. It's good afternoon. Happy holidays. This is a Kufi.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, but I was trying to find out if we had our guest on the line.
I'll make a little comment on Jesus and the virgin birth. That is a Greek concept. And I did research and found out that Jesus was a black man, woolly hair, and his name was Akhenaten, and he was married to Nefertiti, and they were pharaohs together, and they had children. This is where they get the story from Jesus from. I put it on my Facebook page, and I got millions of people all over the world on my page looking at this information, and Facebook took the data down. So obviously it was the truth.
Huh?
Who was his? Are you able to hear me? Who was his mother?
Who was his mother?
Who was his mother?
These were comedic Ethiopian people.
That's not answering my question.
I think his mother, Osiris, Nefertiti's father was Anu.
No, it's all history.
The British had this information in the museum. They took it out the temples.
Okay.
So this is where they get the character of Jesus. If you Google Jesus was a pharaoh.
For the purpose of this program, this December 25th, we are taking it from the standpoint of the Black History Bible book, whose CEO, as I said earlier, was a with bronze-colored feet to match his bronze-colored face. So we don't have any arguments with that. We're saying who was his mother. And right now, we're talking about a Hebrew teenage girl. That's what rich. Now you have another source of information, and I'm sure somebody else will.
But the whole story of the virgin birth is made up. The whole story is made up. They never happened like that. Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, so that whole story was made up. They made the whole story up. Christmas is a made up holiday. You can enjoy it with your family. It's okay. But it's a made-up holiday. It was created. There was never a virgin birth. It never happened. It never existed.
Yeah. Well,
that's something that they
virgin birth today. That's what the point is. But we're going to Andrew was on the line, I believe, and
you know what Brother Poppy said is true.
Could you plug Andrew back in? He was the caller up next after
Brother Coopy is saying is true.
For your input, but there was a caller that was announced before you. And out of fairness, let us go back to that caller. And I thank you for your comment.
Dr. Walter Williams wrote two books about one is Islam, the other is Christianity. And what Brother Kufi is saying is very true. So, and what he's saying is indisputable. And we've been deceived on so very many levels as relates to religion, as relates to the divine force in the universe, and so very many other things. And what Dr. Walter Williams has brought forth is very true. When I heard Dr. Walter Williams for the first time, tears came to my eyes because I knew, and it resonated with me, that what he's saying is absolutely true. Do you hear what I said?
Can we go back beyond? I just have to ask you the question. Now, there are many, as you said, religious interpretations. One of them is that a woman, Nicodemus, I believe it was, who married his mother, and his mother
Nimrod.
That was Nimrod,
and December 25th is Nimrod's birthday.
Thank you so much, Corey. I didn't mean to say Nicodemus. I meant to say Nimrod. Yes.
Thank you.
That he married his mother, and in her grief, the year after his death, that she went to his gravesite and saw a little evergreen tree springing up, and this was the origin of it, according to some other religious belief. And also that it's written in that same Black History Bible book. It says, "Do not decorate stone and tree." So this evergreen tree sprang up. She started decorating it. We are decorating it today. But spiritually speaking, it is told in plain language, do not decorate stone and tree. And this thing with the leaves and the branches and the roots, it is called a tree. And we are decorating it. And spiritually speaking, we are out of order. Now, you want to address that?
Yes. What it is what Dr. Robert X refers to as Old Testament. It's white supremacy. It is the collective consciousness of individuals who fear a black planet, who fear that their race is going to be wiped out. That's what this whole COVID-19 pandemic is ultimately all about. They can't help themselves.
Well,
their very nature compels them to do what they're doing.
You know, it's very interesting that when you think of a virus and you think of the things that man is in empowered to do today, like when it came to the genome map in the year 2000, the genome map code, as they called it, was broken. And I read this article in the year 2000. It said that there was, after 10 years, so it started in 1990, after 10 years and billions of dollars, they finally found the language that the Creator used to create human beings. And Bill Clinton was the president at the time, and one of the things that he said is, we hope that this information is not used to discriminate, segregate, or to deprive people of their privacy rights. And this is exactly what is happening today. I believe that was a Sun Times April or May issue in the year 2000. That was 21 years ago. So we, and it also said in that article that they would be creating things to further this molecule, to deal with the people's molecules. And that's exactly what's happening. COVID, they don't give you COVID like they give you a little polio so that your body can form antibodies and you will not get polio. It is not that kind of vaccination. It's your RNA, DNA, and it's a totally different thing. And it does not prevent anybody from getting anything. And so when we're thinking of somebody like Cory Booker, who was all vaccinated up, he had his booster shot that was included, and yet he came down with the virus. This is people that are saying, I've had my shots, I've had my Alpha shots, I've had my booster shot, and I'm all good. Those are the super spreaders because they have it and don't know it. They have it, and they have such a mild case of it until they don't know that they have it. So they continue to kiss babies, and then the babies become spreaders. But we're not going to get off on that today because we are trying to stick with the memorial to the woman. And 1,000 years later, in the preaching of the gospel, that hasn't been done. So can you tell me anything about what you know about the memorial to the woman and the anointing of souls? If not, we'll go to our next caller, 111. So what were you going to
say? I have characterized my mother, Josephine Elizabeth Jack Nelson, as queen of the world.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I have characterized my mother, Josephine Elizabeth Jack Nelson, as the queen of the world. I'm the crown prince.
Well, that wasn't my question, though.
That's my answer to the question.
No, that wasn't my, that was an answer to another question. It wasn't an answer to my question. My question was this: what do you know, biblically speaking, what do you know about the memorial to the woman that was established?
I know the Roman Catholics venerate Mary, the mother of Jesus, Hail Mary, mother of God,
Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
That has nothing to do with it, and they are two different women. So could we go on? I thank you for your input, but we want to try to stick with the memorial to the woman and why it's 2,000 years later and that hasn't been done. So I thank you for your call, listenership, and do we have caller 111 still on the line? Or have our guests arrived? Have any of our guests arrived? Miss Karen Hicks, Miss Shavonna David, Shavonna Mason, excuse me, or T-Rex. Have any of those people arrived? If they have, would you please?
We'll go to 111 after the break. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. And 111 will come to you next.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Okay, we are back. You are listening to Wisdom with Mama G, Women in Support of Daughters on Motherhood Preparation. Our topic today is the memorial to the woman and preaching the gospel globally. And I'm wondering if any one of my three guests are there. I know this is on Christmas, and if you're company has dropped in on you, like they dropped in on Martha. I know that there's no time to get on the radio and talk about the memorial to the woman when you got your own hands full with your guests, and it is Christmas Day. So Miss Karen Hicks, she's a mother and she's a grandmother, so I know how that can be on Christmas Day. And also Miss Shavonna Mason, she has a small child, she's about 5 years old. And we have Miss Pires, she has a daughter, I believe she's 9 or 10 years old. So I can certainly comprehend if they have forgotten all about this with the Christmas excitement that's going on. But if they are there, please push one. If not, we will go to caller 111 who has been waiting for some time, and we certainly appreciate their patience. So should we go to call 111 now?
Your mic is open.
Well, maybe we lost 111 also.
Your mic is open. Check your mute.
Well, could you address Naima?
Good evening. Good evening.
Oh, you're there.
Good afternoon. Great show, Mama D. I had two questions. I'll try to answer the first question. You said on the memorial to the woman. It's interesting because as you go to churches, I've been going for decades, I very rarely ever hear a woman preach that sermon about the women and the issue of blood and all that, because I've always heard minister preachers were men that always preach it. Once I heard a woman preach it and it just turn me all the way around, because I would think a woman to have a better perspective of what's happening to somebody, since they're the only ones that can have a menstrual cycle. I can't even imagine what that would be like, nor birthing a child for that matter. So that is an interesting subject. But to get to the truth of today, it's part of the reason the callers have been saying what they're saying is, what about truth? Yahshua the Messiah, who they call Jesus, his birthday was June 6th. So when you celebrate on the 25th of December, it's more about, commercialism, buy some gifts, and a whole bunch of stuff that just doesn't seem to add up. As a matter of fact, just to let you know how serious it gets, in the Chicago area, there's a suburb called Oak Brook. And Oak Brook Mall has all the little nice, fancy stores like Macy's and all that. And it's kind of in an affluent area. I used to even work around it. Never would anybody have done anything violent or anything out there. You know, this weekend, four people were shot in the mall. It got to do with Christmas. And why are people breaking into all of the stores on Michigan Avenue, stealing up the high-end items? They made the security guard. So my point I'm making is that it's beginning to make Christmas more of a farce when people are living this existence that's way off the chain. And everybody every day is standing around acting like it's not abnormal behavior. But I'll leave you with this one. In discussions with people, they say there's two things that they've noticed that really makes the difference. The internet and the internet and television that goes 24 hours with all of those channels, they really ruined what we used to have as just a normal existence. You could just walk to school now. You have to pick up your children every day.
I'd just like to add this.
Get back to the subject. I'm sorry.
No problem. But the reason I asked this question and the reason I brought up the subject is because of persons like yours and all the different can you mute? Your mic is still, okay. So you gave one interpretation about the birth being in June. Someone else gave an interpretation about this wasn't the birth of this person. So we can just go on and on and on, but for purposes of this particular program, we're talking about the Black History Bible book, King James Version, most commonly called, and we're taking it from that perspective. However, when it comes to shootings and looting and all of that, we have always had a violent society. I mean, it didn't just happen. I mean, stealing and killing has gone on for some time. It doesn't have anything to do with Christmas or any other holiday. You see 20 kindergartens and first grade children slaughtered in Sunnybrook. What does that have to do with anything? It has to do with the thrill of killing, violence being promoted as entertainment. But getting back to the memorial to the woman and preaching the gospel globally, this is the female solution, and it is global. So we're opening up this particular conversation. Because why isn't it after 2,000 years of memorial to the woman when the Messiah himself honored that memorial? He washed, anointed the feet of his disciples. Your feet are the foundation of your body. They know where you're going, where you're coming from, and where you are. Foundation straight. The rest of you will be straight. So in getting that foundation straight, the envy and lack of respect for a woman's property, the ointment in her purse belonged to her. But yet the disciples thought that they were duty bound to say, oh, we could have taken that ointment and sold it and gave the money to the poor. So the Messiah read their mind, trouble you, this woman. In other words, why are you bothering this woman? Don't you mind your own business? He said, but he didn't. He said, why trouble you, this woman? He said, she has done a good thing in that she has poured this oil on my body. She has done it for my burial. Now, his disciples did not even know he was going to die, because he had not had that little talk with them at the Last Supper. So when he said those words, she is preparing my body for burial. And that's what needs to happen. When you have died to sin, you ought to be able to bury that sin. So the memorial to the woman was connected to the gospel. And when he said, this is my body, this is my blood spilled for you, my body broken for you, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Well, of me is a personal thing, and the memorial to the woman is a gospel thing. And every, at least once a month, we honor the personal thing, but we don't honor the gospel thing, and that is what the Messiah himself honored. He washed his feet, anointed. It's anointed when you put some, wash them, and then you put some kind of oil on them. Anointing. He anointed the feet of his disciples, and like as he had done, as the woman had done to him. So he honored the memorial to the woman. But we are still honoring what he did, and we're still skating around not honoring the memorial to the woman when most of his ministry was about women. Martha, women. The Mary Magdalene being stoned, women. You brought up the statement about the usher. Well, usher. Everybody knows that one very well. 12 years. Can you imagine? I mean, women are so glad to get off of their monthly after a week until they can hardly wait. But can you imagine 12 years? And the laws that men had made saying you cannot touch anything because you are unclean. Can't go outside of your house. You're on house arrest. And you can't touch anybody that's holy. You can't go out and get your healing or anything else because you're unclean, and anything you touch is unclean, and you're just you know, what do they call it? And lump it in. Am I off the air?
Okay, you're back on. You're back on.
Okay. So we're going back to, where did I leave off? We're going back to this woman touching the hem. Right, I'm hearing an echo. So I just cut off my phone. Did I get rid of the echo? Do I need to turn the phone back on? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you now.
But I'm getting an echo. So anyway, we're back to, we're going to be coming up on the break in about 4 minutes. But we're back to start touching the hem of his garment. She had to be, as I said, practically laying on her stomach in order to get down that low. But he wants to know who touched him. And if, and all these people push it up on you, anybody could have touched you. So he said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I felt the verse out of me. Somebody has gotten healed. And so the conversation goes on. So she finally reveals herself. You know, it was me. And he said to her, woman, your faith has made you whole. It was her faith, and it was making her own decision to decide to go out and defy the law that this is what it's about. Who were the captives, and what did he set them free from? Men had made these laws that said if a woman was on her menstrual cycle, she could not touch anything that was holy. Well, guess what? When the baby is born, teenage mother who delivered him by herself, she had to touch him. She had to put her unholy hands on him and change his diaper, or he would have had a terrible diaper rash. She had to put that unholy tit in that little holy mouth, or it would have starved to death. The baby would have starved to death, and he wouldn't have been alive to be crucified on the cross or anywhere else. So he busted up that myth, which is very birth. He's a holy child, and she's touching. Now what? So women come up with plans, came to set the captives free. Well, who were the captives? This woman was captive. She was a captive because men had made rules that says if you're on your menstrual cycle, which they don't even have, then you have to stay in solitary confinement. And then so that myth was busted up. Two people should have been stoned, but only one people was up there. So that lack of justice myth, that was busted up. And his very birth, his mama had to touch the holy cow. So that was all of the memorials to the woman. But he said it clear as far as whensoever the gospel is preached in a temple, in a church, in a mosque, on the street, sidewalk, in a tent, wheresoever in the whole world that this woman has done, be told as a memorial to her. Now, that's with the preaching of the gospel. So in a sense, my question is, before we go to break in 1 minute, is, have we taught, we have not honored the memorial to the woman? That's my question. We're going to go to break. And if we have none of our listeners coming up with our last half hour, then I'm sure our visionary, Miss Naima Latif, will be
perfect person to come in and share her wisdom. And let's get this memorial to the woman show on the road after 2,000 years. Yes. Is this Naima?
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, persons, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325. To share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health.
I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
I think the sound is better now.
Had a bit of challenges today. Can you hear me all right, Mama D?
I can hear you through my phone, but not through Facebook.
Yeah, so I think the audience is going to be hearing on Facebook through your phone, and because I'm having some tremendous challenges with my laptop today. So,
and I'm having this with my three guests up today. So we're still moving right along.
Moving right along.
You know, when you think about when the first captive that he ever set free was a woman involved in an adulterous affair. And the last woman that he came into contact with was one in which, in the field of prostitution, they made it very clear he was being hosted by a man. And he said, well, he's supposed to be a holy man. Why is he letting that kind of woman even touch him? So well, you know what that kind of woman was. And so it's interesting that he's on it, creating a memorial to this woman. And what was interesting is about they asked him some questions about it. So in the conversation, he said, if you forgive somebody's debt, if somebody owed $50 and you gave the $50 debt, or they owed $500 and you forgave the $500 debt, which one would be more grateful? The one who you covered $50 or the one who was forgiven the $500. So the answer was obvious. So he said, this woman has sinned much. She got a whole lot of sins on her plate. And that's why she's doing all that boo-hoo. Because you cannot just blink your eyes and think that you're going to create enough tears to wash somebody's feet. You've got to be serious about
your
repentance.
Yes. But,
yes.
What a lot of people have not learned about the ministry of Jesus is that he came at a time, just like now, was a whole lot of hatred toward women, a whole lot of repression of women, a whole lot of condemnation of women, a lot of hypocrisy surrounding sex. Where you're going to condemn a woman for adultery, but where was the man that she supposedly was with? So in that atmosphere, he was very empowering of women. And what we don't learn in the Christian religion, because it was interpreted by men who also were very repressive of women,
is that he had a lot of women followers, just as he had the male followers, and he had to really sometimes put those men in check who wanted to try to condemn the women. And not only did he have a lot of women followers and women that he taught regularly, he also did a lot in terms of challenging the religious beliefs of the day about a lot of the hypocritical ways that women were condemned for things that men were not condemned for. And so the whole thing with the stoning of the woman, and, you know, when he made that remark, well, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Well, all of them had to look at, okay, what have I done? Let me not raise my hand against her. So, you know, this was during a time where there was a lot of anti-female sentiment. So because the Christian religion has been interpreted by men who also had anti-women sentiments, Europeans were very anti-women. You know, in that Last Supper with the 12 disciples, but there are also six women present, too, that never got in the picture. So we don't know the power that women had during his time, during his ministry, and the way he empowered women by pointing out a lot of the hypocrisy and honoring women in the ways that men were not doing at that time. And so, I mean, it's brilliant that you're addressing this today, because there really needs to be some rectification. Jesus came to, as you said, free the captives. Who were captives at the time? Women were under subjugation, and we're not supposed to be under subjugation. That's the whole problem with the world, is that the women are not in their rightful place. And there's a lot of women hate in many of the religions, and so the world is not going to be balanced until we fix that. And if the preachings of Jesus were actually portrayed the way they were, instead of all of the things that empowered women being taken out of the Bible, then we would have actually seen the manifestation of his mission as he meant it to be, which was the freeing of the captives, the bringing back to humanity a balance and an equality that is supposed to exist. So thank you so much, Mama D, for teaching today.
Well, I thank you for acting like a good student and learning the lesson that's been taught today. You know, education is a two-way street. And I've always thought that you go to school to learn. But children are, intently, I don't know about today, probably, because I know in when I was going to school, we were intimidated and bullied by the teachers if we didn't know. Now, the ones that know, they had their hands up, and she would call on the ones that always had the answers, and we called them the teacher's pet. And they got their hands up. But when you didn't know and you put that hand up, oh, man, you was ready for a beat down. Why? If you were paying attention, you would know what I just said. Why wasn't you paying attention? So we know that she's going to come up like that. So after the teachers left the classroom, all of us are huddling up together saying, did you get what she was talking about? No, I didn't get it. Well, you know, we're trying to figure it out on our own. Because instead of saying, I am, put your hand down, I'm glad you know. But I am here to teach those that do not know. You know, and we hear this saying, choir preaching to the choir. Because you are supposed to be teaching the ones that don't know and just always calling on the same ones again and again. But the ones that don't know, when you're supposed to be teaching, they're intimidated and bullied, and that's probably why they're not reading at grade level by the third grade, and they're headed for jail, according to Spencer Leak when he was the warden of the Chicago Cook County Jail. But what I'm getting at, the majority of his ministry were about women acting in view of impossible odds. Now, you have gotten a decree. The king says, I'm slaughtering up all of the babies. And there you had all of these Rachel's weeping for their children, and they would not be comforted. because it was the law. The king had said it. We're the soldiers, and we're going out here, and we're going to slaughter these babies. And still, they didn't get the one that they were aiming at because they were forewarned, and they had left town. But I find the mother of Moses very interesting because she said, no. I don't think that y'all God has given me this beautiful little man child. He's just perfect and he's beautiful. I don't think y'all God has given me this baby for the king to come and kill it. I don't think so. So she put her thinking cap on. I might have to give this baby up. Well, you know, the Pharaoh's sister, she doesn't have any children. She would love to have a beautiful baby like this. And it must have been, you know, the Egyptians had to be the same color. You couldn't be the Pharaoh's sister, give away a white baby when you're white, and you're not going to take this black baby as if it's your own. So they had to be of the same race. And so she made that little basket and put the baby in it and sent the older sister along the route to find out what happened when the queen was down there. And she found that beautiful little baby in there. Oh, go away, servant. You know, and she took that baby in and raised him as her own because the mother decided, you're not killing my child. You give him up, but you will not kill him. And that should give us some strength today. We've got all these Rachels around here weeping for their children, and nobody is doing anything about it. Women have to step up and take a stand. We will not allow you to have this grand theft auto teaching our 14-year-olds how to be carjackers. And then they're saying, well, I watched Grand Theft Auto and it seemed like fun. And I went out and I snatched a car for real and it was fun. And they asked him in the interview, are you going to do it again? Yes. When mothers decided to put an end to that violence that was in those cartoons, when they really got to look at those cartoons, are you kidding me? They're blowing up people and slicing them up and beating them up. No, I don't think so. So how do you think that we can empower women through the preaching of the gospel and the anointing of the souls when you have been born again? Then you're supposed to bury that sin. And if we don't honor the memorial to the woman, we're not doing that. And if we don't go over all the lessons to be learned by these powerful women, that's why my question was, is this preaching the gospel? For the 1,000 years now, we have not honored the memorial to the woman. And this is global.
Yes, it is. It's global. That's the challenge that we have. The whole distorted vision of the message of Jesus is global, and the culture of repression of women is global. So if a person is really going to take the message of Jesus, they have to remove the anti-women sentiment that is rampant in the belief system. Everything from women are not to be seen or heard at the church, or not to be heard, or can't preach, or can't stand in front of men and speak, and all of that, because Jesus had a lot of his women followers that were very much well versed. And in matter of fact, I've read accounts where the disciples were sometimes a little bit jealous of Mary Magdalene because she was someone that you know, knew the teachings, that was highly admired and certainly
put in a position to be a teacher among the men, but they didn't like that, as just as men don't like that now. And so her whole history of who she was and who she was to him was submerged and taken out of his entire life. Now, the information is coming out now, but you have such a distorted understanding of his life that a lot of religious people are not able to even grasp the reality that this was a man with a life and a relationship and a family, and they can't conceive of that because they've been so anti-women and so distorted about sexuality. So that's why they're stoning women and accusing women of impropriety and immorality, but not looking at themselves, at what kind of things they were doing. And really we have to rectify the attitude that has been ingrained in religion about females. I mean, just the whole Eve story. I mean, that's so much hostility toward women to say females are responsible for the downfall of the whole race of humanity. And if we, the women, swallow that, then we perpetuate that. And we create the kind of men that abuse women. So we have to take responsibility for perpetuating that which is false so that we can stop doing it, so we can correct what society keeps producing, which are badly behaving men. We're doing this by accepting, and it's definitely not what Jesus reflected in his quest to free the captive. Those who had been
absolutely
oppressed. Us, the women.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you go back to the first woman captive that he sets free, love mercy, do justly, and walk humbly with your God, she wasn't being treated justly. So we attack that. Those are the three things that are required of you. We attack that right away. And then there was this, the first people to see him resurrected were women. When they came back and told the man, well, you know what he said was going to happen after 3 days. Well, it did happen. And we saw this angel. We saw this angel, and he said this, and oh, they looked at them. You're tripping. That didn't happen. You're delusional, because they had such little respect and downright contempt for women and what they were saying, and they would not accept the word that he was saying. And when his body came down off of that cross, was there, he was assisting.
And that was significant right there. But Mama D, we got a call on the line. I've opened the mic. Okay. I believe we got Viana joining us with some comments. Go right ahead.
Greetings, sisters. Nice conversation. I'd like to address the question that Mama D poses. Why has the memorial to the woman been ignored by the churches, temples, and synagogues? And I want to just refer to a story that's been told about an astronaut who was asked by reporters if he saw God up in the cosmos and up in his spaceship. And he said, yes, and she was black.
Ooh.
Now, that statement alone shifts our thinking into a whole paradigm that people are not used to. And I think the question about memorial to women been ignored because the Bible continually refers to the Creator as a he. Until we start correcting those errors in the scripture, God, Yahweh, is not a he. In fact, I think Yahweh is a they. Yahweh is a collective energy of he and she, female and male energy. And that's why I think the churches, temples, and synagogues have ignored it, because we have these books that are being read and taught from every week in the churches, in the holy places, that are still patriarchal in nature and referring to our Creator Yahweh as a he. What do you think, Mama D?
Well, first of all, I really appreciate you let us make man after our image and after our likeness. And it clearly says, male and female created he them, and he blessed them. When I look up into the sky, I see one sun, one father, one moon, one mother, and many stars, many children. So if we are in the age of come, let us reason together, and there is a Holy Spirit, okay, you got God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, Mother of wisdom and comfort. We have got to stop referring to the Holy Spirit as a male. We're talking about a family. If we are in the image and likeness of a creator, look at us. We are men, women, and children. That is the likeness, and we are all connected. And when you're a child, is the fruit of the male and the female. So we do have to come into reason, and it's written there. It's just skipped over and ignored, and we would rather think about a man being alone when Genesis 1:26 says, male and female, they wasn't alone. They were given equal duty. He said he blessed them, and he gave them dominion over the earth. He told them to be fruitful and multiply. He told them to till the land. And until we stop skipping over Genesis 1:26 and getting over to a man by himself in a garden and the woman coming out of a rib, well, why isn't she coming out of a rib today? But we know which came first, female, and she laid the rooster now, and they
just, well, there you go.
As if they've done something. So I thank everybody for listening to Wisdom with Mama D, and that's why we have our Nation of Obedience Fearolution Ministry, the Gospel According to Y2K, Yahshua's Second Coming, and the Memorial to the Woman.
So all right.
Was pure illusion for
me.
So thank,
well, thank you.
You
so much. All right. I'm a deep.
Well, we appreciate everybody who's listening and called in, and we'll see you all tomorrow on the Female Solution. Soul Purpose Healing, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. And join us next for Saturday for Wisdom with Mama D.
You can always reach us
at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsamida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jared. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you, and the mercy of God, and God's blessing.